everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Paul A. Presenza, known as the Moo Cow. Moo!
And I'm also with...
Lenore. I don't have a nickname.
Sorry. Oh, not yet. We're still working on that. Yeah. But, you know, we'll figure something out for you.
Lenore the Science Babe.
What?
You said Lenore the Science Babe.
Let's keep trying.
Yeah, she didn't like that one.
No.
All right, so today is my last episode that of the ones that I'm doing in this year for the season. So
season two.
I've decided that I was gonna do, since he did a Thanksgiving one, I was gonna do a Christmas themed one.
Yay!
And I had to find a stinker that was actually kind of fun and kind of enjoyable to kind of end my reign, because it seems that Paul's movies are generally worse than mine. And I just can't compete.
Because Paul really likes the bad ones.
I know, he really does. And I like more of the good, goofy, fun kind of stuff. And so we're going to watch a movie that Paul knows pretty much a good amount of, and we're gonna watch Jack Frost.
Woohoo! Wait,
yes.
Really?
Like, not the Michael Keaton version,
which, by the way, is a horrible movie.
But that would be maybe a Hollywood knockbuster movie. Yes. But not a but definitely not a indie film cafe, because not an indie film at all. But apparently, they do not like each other either. Like the people who did, the next Jack Frost didn't like the fact that this other Jack Frost got made. But this is a killer mutant snowman movie.
Oh,
as you happens, you know.
Right.
And it's also not. It's, you know, there's a Misty Jack Frost too. That was the weird Russian movie that was really Baba Yaga and all that. But yeah, so there are several Jack Frosts out there. But this particular one is one that I've definitely been wanting to put on Indie Film Cafe. You beat me to the punch, which is great, and I think this is a perfect time for it.
Well, it's perfect, because next year, or the year after, or whenever you want to do it, you can do the sequel.
Oh, God.
You would just have to do it in the summertime, because it's Hawaii.
It's so bad.
So wait, the one with the Baba Yaga and stuff, is that the Riff Tracks version?
No, that's the Misty version.
Mystery Science Theater 3000
right,
did it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they did too. Okay.
So Riff Tracks did it as well?
Wait, no, I think I'm getting them. I think it was Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, it was Mystery Science Theater. I know, I'm almost positive I showed you that one.
I think you did.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
All right, but we're about to watch this goofy movie that Lenore's never seen, but me and Paul have seen, and we both love, and we're going to talk about it. I actually did some research on this movie, so I can't wait to dive into that, and I'm not going to tell anything until we do the show. So I guess to go into it, let's listen to some mood music. We are back. Welcome back. We just finished watching Jack Frost.
Eek.
Oh my goodness. I was actually expecting this to be like a I guess a better movie than it was.
Nope.
I'd seen it earlier and actually really dug it more, I guess, but rewatching it is there's a lot, and we'll definitely talk about it, but before we do, I wanted to give some background because I did some research on it. So let me do that. So Jack Frost was co-written and directed by Michael Cooney, who was the narrator in the beginning. You might know him as the guy that tells the Jack Frost story.
That's hard, actually.
It was really creepy and funny. He also is famous for writing Identity, you know, the John Cusack movie. So far, Jack Frost 1 and 2 are the only movies he's directed. I wonder why.
Surprisingly.
Jeremy Page co-wrote it with Michael. He also produced it with his wife. I forgot to write her name down, but she helped out on producing of the film.
Call her Wifey Poo.
It was shot in 18 days, Originally, director Rennie Harlan was interested in directing the movie.
Get out.
When it was about a serial killer who could hop from element to element.
Rennie Harlan, really?
A la Shocker and The Abyss. It was supposed to be like a mixture of both those movies.
Get out of here.
That was the original $30 million budget kind of picture. However, Rennie Harlan's girlfriend, who later became his wife, Gina Davis, convinced him to do Cutthroat Island instead.
God.
Because she wanted to do a pirate movie. Which one? I wonder which one was better.
They're both like terrible. Better choice.
Yeah. I asked my brother that, and he goes, neither.
That's funny.
Yeah. Michael went back to England after Rennie turned it down. Jeremy found the money on the project through a company called Prism, a low-budget film company.
No budget.
Prism had Michael direct the movie, so they didn't have to pay a director. They had close to $800,000 to shoot with. $150,000 went to cast, and $50,000 went into the snowman itself.
Oh my God! There's a waste of $50,000 right there.
I know you can make that for you can make that snowman for much, much cheaper. But do you know who did the design the snowman originally?
Originally, no.
Or like who designed the snowman?
Demons from Hell.
Screaming Mad George designed the snowman. Prison left the project toward the end, and Apex Entertainment took over and sold it direct to video. When I used to work at Video Update, I used to see the cover, and it was a lenticular cover, meaning it had a holographic image of the snowman.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was actually a really cool cover, much cooler than, unfortunately, the ones that the Vinegar Syndrome. They tried to do something neat with it.
I had both. I had one and two, both on VHS.
And both did both have a lenticular cover?
I believe so.
The Blu-ray was put out by Vinegar Syndrome. It contains a very informative commentary track by Michael, the director, and a moderator. I think his name is Elijah Trainer from Vinegar Syndrome. It also has a 3-minute video intro from Michael, a 16-minute video intro interview with Scott McDonald, who played Jack Frost, and a 6-minute video interview with the director of photography, Dean Lent. This film was also the film debut of Shannon Elizabeth, who I think went by her full name then.
Right.
And then I guess she changed it after she made this movie.
Shannon Elizabeth Fabi.
Yeah, then she changed it after this movie.
I wonder why.
They did a part two set in Hawaii.
Right.
There was going to be a third one, but the actor who played the sheriff died in an avalanche, so they chose not to do it. How ironic.
All strikes.
How ironic. And that was the research I did, the stuff that the background of this film. So I guess... Paul, tell us what the story is about, or should we let Lenore do it?
You know, it's always fun when it comes from Lenore.
Yeah, so here we go, Lenore. Give us the plot.
Okay, so it starts with a narrator telling a little girl a story in the beginning. Actually, we never go back to the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Or the girl.
Or the girl. I would have loved to see what she looked like, because she was like a funny character.
So, the narrator somehow has knowledge of these events, I guess. Maybe? I'm not sure.
Well, he describes Jack Frost as about to be killed, so I think he knows all the past, but I don't think he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he kind of sets it up for the rest of the story, so we know that there is a serial killer who used to cook people in their... You cook them and then serve them as part of a dish or something.
In a pie.
Okay. But they're transporting him to his execution, which I also have questions about.
We'll get to that.
An hour before he's supposed to go.
Yeah. And they get into a car crash with a truck carrying some kind of experimental acid, which I also have questions about given what's later revealed about it. Why would it be in that large a quantity if it's still experimental and they have no idea what its effects are on life? Why would it be in industrial quantities instead of small batches in the lab that it's going to be tested in?
Good question.
Because these guys are clearly all about safety.
And science.
So there is an accident. Science happens.
Science happens.
And Jack Frost becomes a snow monster.
As you do.
Yeah. And wreaks havoc on a small town by murdering them with snow.
Yes.
And wisecracks. Tons of bad wisecracks.
And shenanigans happen. Many people die. And they eventually discover that it's killed with antifreeze. Maybe. They do a sequel hook at the end. But the how they discover that it's killed with antifreeze is also really, really weird. So at the beginning of the story, a little boy is making oatmeal?
Cookies. I guess oatmeal cookies?
I don't know what he's making. It looked like dog poo.
It was awful looking.
Oatmeal something for his dad to bring to work for lunch. It gets shoved into a bag instead of a bowl, even though it's liquid. And he just kind of forgets about it. He doesn't want to eat it. And he throws it out. And then for some reason changes his mind and just leaves it in his car.
Of course.
And then at the end of the movie, when he's in the car and the snowman monster is behind him, he just tosses the bag at it and the snowman starts screaming. And he turns around and asks his son, "What did you put in that oatmeal?" And he says, "Antifreeze."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So antifreeze. He's poisoning his dad.
So, yes, he's making oatmeal with fucking...
With
antifreeze in there. That's stupidity number one.
Which really also brings up the question of how did his mom not notice?
That's stupidity number two, is nobody notices what this dumbass kid's doing. And then here's stupidity number three. The crap is still in a plastic bag. Why the hell would it bother the snowman if it's still in the plastic bag?
And has been cooked.
Right.
Yeah, so, it makes no sense.
The whole movie is just dumb as a doornail.
Yeah. So, basically this acid that turns him into the snow monster is some kind of new acid that's supposed to bind DNA to an inert substance so that it can be recreated after death, which is really dumb.
But so, why?
So there's a lot of things wrong with this. The first is that DNA will denature upon exposure to acid. So yeah. It can't really be brought back.
You say that like acid is a bad thing to be exposed to.
And then there's also just the question of, again, this hasn't been tested yet, and he says as much. How does he know what its effects are? And why hasn't he tested it? And why is it being produced in large enough quantities to fill up several oil drums and be transported around by this company before it's been tested?
Oh, it's not even a company, it's the FBI, because of course this is what they do, but, you know, the other thing...
No, I mean, the FBI wasn't actually testing it originally. They were just called in after this serial killer got loose.
Oh, I see.
So they weren't actually, they're just working with this guy because they found out that the two mixed together. So that's what I got from
it. Well, only because he says at one point, we should bring in the company, and the company is just the CIA. You know, that's
I thought
just...
the company was the scientists. I thought that's who the guy wanted. He wanted his group of people to come in and take over, and he wanted all the FBI guy wanted to do was kill him.
It's possible, but you know, it's the company is also slang for CIA.
Usually, but I don't think in this case it is. I don't know. That was my take on it.
It was confusing.
And at the end, the other really dumb thing is. So they decide that it can be killed with antifreeze. So they go to the store, which has lots of antifreeze for some... Okay, it's kind of reasonable for a store to have antifreeze in winter. But they have a lot of it in a window display for some reason. So he puts down a tarp in the bed of a truck and fills that with antifreeze one bottle at a time.
Not that he was asked to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, go get me some antifreeze.
Yeah. That's the other thing. He wastes a lot of time filling up the bed with antifreeze.
Right, and then he goes there. He goes up to the house that he never even told them where to meet him, I don't think.
Yeah.
Was that ever, like, discussed?
No,
it was never.
No.
You know, so he met him there, and then all of a sudden, like, he knew exactly where to put the bed.
Mental telepathy.
I mean, it was just the bed of the truck. Like, it made no, absolutely no sense at the end.
You're supposed to, like, not have your brain function as you watch
this. I'm guessing, I mean, if there's a killer snowman on the loose, you're not really going to be really taking this into consideration.
Yeah. But then he jumps into this pool of antifreeze with the snowman. And then one of the arms got cut off and was strangling his son, so he dunked his son's head into this pool of antifreeze.
I'm sure that's very healthy for you, right?
No! No, it's not!
No?
So, antifreeze in small quantities isn't so dangerous. If you just get exposed to it through skin, if it gets in your eyes, or if you inhale it, it's not so dangerous. It's just a mild irritant. Usually. But if you drink it accidentally or in large quantities or whatever, it gets really dangerous. Like, you're looking at a risk of kidney failure, and I think liver failure as well. But he really shouldn't be drinking it. And he dunks himself and his son's head into a pool of antifreeze.
I'm sure there are a lot of fathers out there who would love to dunk their kids' heads in antifreeze just to see what would happen.
That's horrible.
Not in this movie, it wasn't.
But yeah, don't fill a pool with antifreeze and jump in.
It looked to me like what they used was like green jello with water just for the coloring, and that's kind of about it, you know?
Probably.
So, I don't know. But yeah, the worst thing about the movie, in my opinion, is the writing. Because the directing isn't that bad, and even the acting isn't that bad. But just the sheer stupidity of the writing of the things that are going on is just unbelievably ridiculous. You know, it's like Shannon Elizabeth's character with Tommy. They decide, genius move, that they're going to go have sex in somebody else's house. And this is after her brother's been killed and the rest of her family's been killed.
Yeah, and not just anyone's house, the sheriff's house.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what teenagers do. Okay, so yeah, lots and lots of bad decisions, pretty much by everyone, and that's just—it's just part of the script. It's part of the problem I have with the film. I just don't think it was written very well at all. It just—it just seems very, you know, ridiculous and illogical and unbelievable.
Definitely. What did you think, Lenore?
Well, the teenagers were idiots.
Well, okay, since you were talking earlier about how apparently her brother just died.
Yeah, her brother had just died. Like, his head got cut off with a sled.
And yet she's going around fooling with some guy.
Yeah.
Why would somebody do that?
I'm just getting the impression she didn't like her brother.
Well, and then let's not forget, Daddy got an axe shoved down his throat, and Mommy got made into a Christmas tree decoration.
Well, she didn't know about those two.
Yeah.
Didn't she?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
No, none of the sheriffs could find her to tell her.
Yeah, because she was busy having sex in the sheriff's house.
Actually, she didn't even get to. She did have sex, but it was with the snowman.
Of a kind.
Yeah, that scene bothered me a little.
Really? Like, well, was it just the fact that he was basically raping her?
Yeah. Snowballed.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah, it was just kind of mean-spirited of the movie, of the writers.
Well, and that's another point of the movie, is that I just didn't think it was particularly fun. It wasn't as fun as it should have been. I think there was some mean-spirited kind of ideas going around in this, you know? Because who are you rooting for? The dumb people or the evil snowman?
You're kind of screwed, because you don't want to root for either of them. Yeah. You kind of want all of them to die, but yet you don't like the snowman enough, you know, to be happy about that. I don't know. It was one of those things where there wasn't even like a final girl or final person, you know? It was like literally at the end, it was almost all the sheriff department lived, you know, aside from a couple of the deputies that got killed along the way.
And don't forget fake Adrienne Barbeau. She lived.
Yeah. So tell us about that chick, Paul.
I don't know the actress's name. We're going to have to figure that out. But she looked exactly like late 80s, early 90s Adrienne Barbeau, with her haircut, the way her face was, other than being short and not being quite as, you know, busty as Adrienne Barbeau is, one of her claims to fame. But she clearly looked just like her. I mean, even you noticed she looks just like her. And I'm almost positive that's got to have been why she was hired. I mean, that cannot have been a coincidence at all.
Exactly. Lenore didn't know who Adrienne Barbeau is, I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't.
That's a shame.
We'll have to show you more movies with her, but they're usually pretty good movies.
Yeah, they're good movies. She's actually a very good actress, but she's a very iconic 80s horror actress. And this woman looks just like her. It's uncanny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right, so let's talk a little bit more about, I guess we talked about the story, so let's talk about the cast of it and the characters. So we've got the sheriff. I don't know his last name, but the sheriff and the guy who played him, I think his name is Chris Alpin or something.
Alport.
Yeah. He was great. He was such a fantastic actor for it, I thought.
He's a guy that I've seen in a number of other things. I just, you know, he's always been kind of a, you know, a second character kind of guy, but this was his chance to be the leading guy. So he did a pretty good job.
And I loved Scott McDonald, who played the killer Jack Frost.
Yeah, in the Gary Busey role.
Yeah, well, yeah, the killer cookie. Right. But here's the thing. From what I had heard, they had these auditions, and they were getting, you know, people coming in, and nobody was right. And one guy took out a knife and threatened the director, not to, like, get the part, but as the character. And the producer looked at him and said, well, that's great, but can you do that again and not threaten the director with a knife?
Nah.
You know?
Like, nice.
And so, apparently, yeah, it was good. But Scott McDonald came in, and he just had the voice. He had the charisma, you know, like, and he had the look.
Oh, I know. And that's just the thing. He's got all of that stuff, and yet at the same time, the guy in the beginning who's telling the little kid about the movie or about the story is saying things like, oh, he's drifting from town to town and blending in. How are you going to blend in when you look, sound, and act like that?
Right.
He looked like an absolute psycho killer.
Yeah, it's... He never blinked.
No.
It was like he didn't have
eyelids?
Yeah.
He didn't have eyelids. Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm sure he did. He just never blinked, so it looked like he didn't.
Right. So, I mean, you're basically the movie's, again, this is a writing thing, trying to have its cake and eat, too. He wants to say he's blending in and looking like a normal schnook, but the fact is he acts anything but, and he looks anything but. He certainly doesn't sound like it either. So how the hell is he getting away with it when you look like that?
Mm.
You know, it's crazy. It's inconsistent.
Definitely. Continuity!
He just looks like a bad guy in the same way Jack Nicholson looks like a bad guy.
Oh, poor Jack Nicholson.
What? Jack Nicholson has the eyebrows that make it clear he's playing the villain.
The evil eyebrows. Actually, I thought McDonald looked a little bit like Bruce Campbell.
He did. But Evil Eyebrows sounds like a great movie title. Evil Eyebrows.
We have to make that one. Eyebrows of Death.
Eyebrows from Hell.
Have either of you guys seen Samurai Jack?
No.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, once or twice.
Aku has the evil eyebrows.
Right.
And so does Jack Frost.
Right, yeah. Okay, so as far as the rest of the cast goes, I mean, they were all pretty good. I've seen a lot of these people in other things before. I just couldn't name off the top of my head. I didn't do the research on this one, so I don't know. But I know I recognized some of these faces before. Especially science guy or company guy, whatever his name was, the nerdy guy.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he has. I've seen him before, too.
Yeah. Really, what they wanted to do with this movie was make sure that this was, like, a SAG movie, with big-time actors that had talent. Because, obviously, if you're going to do a movie about a serial killer snowman, you got to have the best of the best people pulling this off and make it actually fun.
I thought the actors all did a pretty good job, even though the one kid was annoying as hell.
Well, he was probably told to be annoying.
Right. And nobody does anything believable or bright. But, again, that's not the actor's fault. That's the writer's fault. And did you say something that the writer and the director were the same person, or was it different?
Well, it was two different people for the actual writing, I believe, of it, or at least I'm not sure if Michael Cooney wrote the whole thing and Jeremy Page helped, but Jeremy is like the producer of it and everything, so he probably had a hand in just making sure,
So the money guy got to be the writer. I can see where this is going.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the money guy. I don't think he was the producer. He just made sure that the movie got made. He wasn't the executive producer or anything. He didn't actually put up the money, but he found the money through Prism. And so they were the ones, and I believe...
Well, and they dropped out.
And I believe they dropped out because there was no nudity in the film. And they thought that this movie was not going
to
sell.
I wonder. See, there's a good question if we ever get to meet Shannon Elizabeth, if that was something that she just refused.
No. That was a thing that Michael Cooney refused. He said in the commentary track he did not want nudity in the movie for the reasons of everybody expects nudity in the movie. And we're not gonna give. We're gonna make it. We're gonna tease that. Make it look like there's gonna be nudity. And we're not gonna give it to them because it doesn't need it. Is what he was basically saying.
Yeah, God, it couldn't help, could it?
Well, I mean, Shannon Elizabeth did like I think a couple years later do American Pie where she did do nudity. So I don't think she would have been opposed to it.
I would still love to talk with her about this film and what she thinks about it. I bet she doesn't like to talk about it much.
I don't know. I'm sure we're not the only ones who've ever thought about asking her about this.
Yeah. Could be. Okay, so here's a topic we haven't quite touched on. Special effects.
We talk about that occasionally, but like I guess a lot of them don't really warrant it like this one.
Yeah, what about that snowman costume?
You know how the gingerbread man costume looked kind of rubbery cloth-like?
Yep.
This one looked like that.
Yeah, I think this one was worse.
Yeah.
I think Ginger Dead Man looked much better, much more real.
I know. Ginger Dead Man actually looked like a real cookie.
Yeah. He was clearly styrofoam or felt or something. It just, none of the snow looked real at all, at all, at all. I mean, it's better than like the non-snow they had in Snow Shark, where they don't have really much snow at all, or Blood Predator, where there's no snow whatsoever. They at least tried to put some snow there, but yeah, it was unbelievable. It was just, not good snow.
Mm-mm.
They should have spent a little money on the snow.
Yes, more on the snow and less on, I guess, whatever else they spent the money on.
Costume, that's the thing. They spent $50,000 on that costume, really?
Oh. Well, it was on the actual, snowman himself, I guess, I don't know. They designed it with $50,000.
Maybe it was the retractable carrot.
the carrot penis.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So Lenore, what did you think of the snowman? You're shaking your head over there.
It was bad design in general, I'd say.
I just can't believe that Screaming Mad George had a hand in this. He's actually really a good designer of stuff. I'm wondering if he had like a design and he made something and then they're just like, let's do something completely different.
And they were a little inconsistent about it too. I mean, sometimes Jack Frost gets through the doors by, somebody on the other side with a water hose or a sprinkler, so it's water. And other times they're shooting fake snow through it. So what's the, why one, why not the other all the time? What's the advantage of one or the other?
And then they can't be like whether or not the surrounding temperature is, because he does the water trick even in places that is freezing.
I know, and it's so lame. It's like the guy's like, oh, he's trying to put napkins and pieces of paper in the door to stop it. It's like, oh, please. And you can tell there's just somebody on the other side of the door with a hose, and they're squirting water against the door. It's just bad.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they just only had a snow blowing machine partway through the movie and only got to use it once.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because he never did that until that last little part. And I'm like thinking he could have just done that like easier, like that could have been so much easier for lots of times.
Now, I did like the hair blower scene, the hair dryer. That was adorable.
Yeah.
That
was a good scene. It was just funny.
Especially because when he's doing it once, it's one thing. But when they all show up and there's like 10 people with hair dryers blowing it in this guy's face,
and you could see like this ball of all the cords being tangled up together, just moving alongside everything else.
Well, you did also say that the him going into the furnace was bad because like... He was doing, everything was good, it was funny, it was cute, and then all of a sudden, he, like, put himself in the furnace?
Yeah, like, I can't imagine anything doing that.
Yeah, he would have just moved out of the way a little bit or something, or, I don't know, maybe he couldn't look, where he was going or something.
He did only have eyes in the, like, kind of pushed into his head and only in the front.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe if he were a snow spider, it'd be different.
Now,
Snow Spider.
Oh my goodness! See another title.
Another movie.
All right. So, I want to mention something. So we talked a little bit about science earlier, and there was some stuff that Lenore was talking about that just couldn't happen with the snow.
Yes. All right, Lenore.
Okay. So remember, you were talking earlier about. How, like, there's just a lot of stuff that the snowman couldn't do.
The genetics
and everything. Tell us a little bit more about the science. Would this actually happen?
Well, no. So, and my sister could probably give you more information on how long DNA can last. She's a forensic scientist. But DNA doesn't last very long, and it's held together by relatively weak bonds. In a double helix structure, it's held in place by connections between the amino acids.
Nucleotides, isn't it?
Yes. And it can last a while, I think, but it will eventually degrade. And throwing acid on it will cause it to denature, which means it cannot be recovered. When something's denatured, it's sort of like cooking meat. You can't uncook meat. That's the same thing with proteins. Once they're denatured, you can't really renature them.
You're destroying them, basically.
Yeah. So obviously, dousing any kind of DNA in acid is a bad idea if you want to restore it. Also, the snowman keeps losing mass anytime he melts and reforms, and you can see the water left behind, so how is he not shrinking?
That would have been an interesting thing. Like, that would have been really funny if each time that he did that, he shrank a little bit.
Continuity error!
Well, I mean, it's also just a script writing error, right, you know, and everything, because they obviously didn't go into much thought on the science of it.
And here's the part of that whole science nonsense thing that I thought was really just, like, the real groaner, the head slapper, is where the guy's like, this proves the soul. I'm like, yes. What? Yes.
Yeah, he was claiming the soul was a chemical.
Yes.
I don't think that's true. Like, do you want people to make liquid souls? Why was he so excited about that?
It was ridiculous.
It was like as if that was a theory he had earlier, right? Like,
well, it sounds like a cockamamie theory the writer heard about somewhere and fit it in there.
Something, but like that, you know, or how can I make this useful to that character and to the snowman itself, you know? Like, what is it inside the...
Right. There are other movies. I mean, like, okay, let's compare it for a second with Ginger Dead Man. They did not bother to try and explain how Mildred Finkelmeyer becomes a cookie. I mean, you see it a little bit. You know, you see kind of like the lightning, and you see the black magic of the mom a little bit, but they don't try to explain it to sort of, you know, make sense, because they know it can't possibly make sense.
Right.
That's kind of scrubbing around the problem. You know, these guys didn't bother with that. They tried to make, like, reasons. And they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it seems ridiculous.
Also, making the scientist, like, partway through, he started attacking the characters for trying to hurt the snowman. I really don't like when movies pull evil scientists like that. It's just annoying.
So, okay, so I think what happened was... they watch Child's Play, you know? And in Child's Play, it was magic, once again. Like, okay. It was like voodoo that happened, which I think was what Ginger Dead Man was, right? And then they were like, let's not do magic this time. Let's do science. And they tried to make it make sense, but it doesn't make any sense.
Right, you can't do that. You can get away with magic. You can get away with, like, an evil curse, like in Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You can get away with that stuff because it doesn't exist.
Right.
Science, on the other hand, does exist. We know about it. We know all sorts of things. And you're just making up horse shit.
Yeah. You need, like, a person who actually was a science major or something to make it make sense.
You need someone like Lenore on set saying, yeah, you can't do that. No, that doesn't make sense. No, that's stupid.
Most likely they would still do it, though.
I know.
Just because it's that kind of movie. Like... they don't think that the people that watch this movie are science nerds.
Right, right. You know? Well, and maybe back in 1996, it was one thing, but, you know, it's a different world now.
Everybody's watching this kind of stuff. I mean...
and nerds are out. You know, we're not in the closet anymore.
And they love it. They love this kind of stuff. Absolutely. Like, yeah, you know, so... what?
Oh, sorry. They never do specify what kind of scientist he was.
Oh, I know. And there's that one point where the evil manners... the evil FBI guy, or semi-evil, the dick. He's like, you just don't understand science, Sheriff. And I'm like, boy, there's the pot calling the kettle black, writer.
Also, his name was Agent Manners, and he was the rudest character in the movie.
That's irony right there.
Very, very scripted and
being
irony.
Being an X-Files fan, I think Kim Manners, the guy who directed a whole bunch of X-Files things. So
you think that was? You think that might be the connection?
I don't know. I we'd have to talk with those guys and dig them up and see what they have to say.
Okay, maybe we will. All right. So, and I love how you say dig them up.
Yeah.
You know.
Unfortunately, he died.
What?
Kim Manners.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were saying we had to dig some other people up, but okay.
You know me, and as an archaeologist, I'm always ready to dig up people.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Well, you can't dig up the killer now, Jack Frost, which is You know, how convenient that the killer is named Jack Frost, by the way. But yeah. They put him into, 10 or 12 bottles of battery, or not battery acid, antifreeze.
Oh, yeah, this is the other question I had. At the end, they pour the antifreeze from the tarp into the containers, which is already kind of weird. Why don't they just bury the tarp? Or why did they go through the effort of pouring it back into the bottles and bury the bottles?
Hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're thinking that you can't actually get rid of matter, and that if you burned it, then he will turn into steam or water vapor, and then he'll just reform. I don't know. It's ridiculous. I don't understand where a lot of this nonsense comes from.
I think it just comes from the writer's head.
Right.
And he's just trying to make something try to make sense.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Good.
For those quantities of antifreeze, you might actually need to call in hazmat. Mm-hmm. Not just dump it into a container and bury it.
Oh, I noticed you were referencing an MSDS sheet.
Yeah. So MSDS is the Material Safety Data Sheet. And it's the information for every chemical. You look it up, and it will tell you in what quantities and in what way chemical is hazardous. And I was looking it up when they were started dunking their heads in antifreeze, because antifreeze is really dangerous, even in small quantities when you drink it. And you dunked your head into it.
Oh, and by the way, as a PSA, whenever we talk about antifreeze, I always like to make sure that people need to clean up antifreeze if they see it from leaking from their cars, because unfortunately, dogs, even cats, will lick it because it has a sweet flavor, and then they get sick and they die. So yeah, you always want to make sure that if you've got an antifreeze spill, that you clean it up immediately.
That is good to know. That's a very big safety tip from your Uncle Paul.
Yeah, save your critters.
No. Is that crazy, or was there a dog in the movie? Like, there was a dog. It sounded like there was a dog bark at one point in the end of the movie.
Yeah, I think just before the kid picked up the hand. I thought, like, wait, yes. Is there a snow dog now?
That would have been awesome.
No, but what annoyed me was you never saw the dog. So I was just like, wait, where, what? Like,
right.
Well, did they just add that as a special, like, sound effect or something?
Well, and that's another issue if we're getting into talking about some of the elements of the film. Production values. I noticed that there always is that omnipresent blowing wind in the background, like there's a mm-hmm. winter storm going on, but then you're looking at the scene and there are actually trees there and none of them are moving because there is no actual wind. It's supposed to be cold and freezing and everything is frozen solid, but nobody's breath is hanging in midair because it's not freezing because it's not cold.
And on top of that, there's like green grass all over the place. It does not look like a place called Snowminton.
Did you find out like around what time what time of the year they shot the film?
Winter.
They did?
Yeah. Wow. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be snowy at that time and everything they were expecting it to be, but they're just, and they even make a mention of it in the credits thing of something like, where's the snow? Or is it supposed to snow now? You know, something, some joke that they would say, but
it was. The town is named Snowmount, as in like,
Snowminton.
Snowminton's like, you know, where's all the snow?
There's not much snow in that movie called Snow, that place town called Snowminton.
There's a lot of fake snow. I mean, obviously fake snow. You know, it was really bad.
Yeah, we kept saying that it looked like a lot of stuff looked like styrofoam,
right?
Or like, I don't know, something else, but it was not snow.
I mean, it's not, because there are places that do make snow and they call it fake snow, but it's still made out of water. You know, I mean, I know that there are ski places that if it doesn't snow enough, that they will create their own snow, and it's not fake, quote-unquote, snow, but it is snow that they created as opposed to came from nature. But in this case, we're talking about, you know, shredded styrofoam or something that looks like snow, but it is clearly not snow. It doesn't act like snow. It doesn't look like snow. It doesn't, you know, the actors interacting with it don't look like they're using snow. And there's no physical properties present that you can see and say, oh, that looks cold or wet or something, you know. It just looks false.
False. So it was awful. You know, that was just bad.
Right. It was bad, and it's a shame because I get the feeling that if somebody with a little bit more experience had sat down with the script and gone over it and just made it better, this could have been a more fun and a more interesting film. You know, I can't blame the director. I can't blame the acting. You can blame the production values to a certain extent, but to me, this one was all about the script writing.
I will say that the director, Michael Cooney, loves this movie.
I bet he does.
And he actually said he had a great time making it.
Sure.
Which you don't ever hear from directors, honestly. Because even though directing a movie, and I can speak from experience, directing a movie is fun, but it is also challenging, and it is also at times heart-wrenching, you know, of like you're trying to get things done, things don't go off well. I mean, obviously, the snow was a big deal, things like that. You know, you just don't know how it's going to go. And then the movie kind of, whatever. But he said he had a fun time. He enjoyed it. And that, to me, just kind of showed in the movie itself of, like, at least people are having fun.
Right.
And enjoying themselves.
It's interesting because I have to wonder if Snow Shark had the same problem, that they expected there to be snow, a lot more snow, and it turned out they just didn't have it.
So right.
You're kind of relying on Mother Nature to sort of provide stuff for you. Same thing with Blood Predator. And unfortunately, it just didn't happen this time. What are you going to do?
So that's the thing that we got to tell you all filmmakers out there. If you're planning to do a movie in the snow, don't. Because it's not going to happen. Because once you plan it, it's not going to happen. So plan to do something in the sun and whatever. And then when it comes to snow, make it work.
We were talking about Heart of Darkness earlier, you know, the making of Apocalypse Now. And I guarantee you, they were not expecting that giant storm to come in and wipe out half their set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, you can only do so much. It's the same thing with, the movie about the making of The Isle of Dr. Moreau, where they had a horrible storm that destroyed, you know, part of their set there, too. I mean, yeah,
just never know.
You never know. You can only do so much. And when that happens, the problem is most of the money has already been spent. So you're kind of stuck and you have to make do with what you've got, you know? And you got to be creative and just make what you can. I don't know that that's the case in this particular film, but, you know, that's part of what happens with making films, you know?
Definitely. So overall, what did you think of this film, Lenore? Since this is your first time seeing it, and we've seen it a couple other times, did you enjoy it, even though the science was like ridiculous?
At times it just felt too long, like ending after ending after ending, it just kept continuing.
Right. You feel like there was a time, because I kind of noticed that too, like there was a time where it could have been cut. Like, it could have ended right then and there. Like, when they put him in the furnace, it could have ended.
Right. There were a couple of false endings, it seemed.
Yeah, so that made it feel a lot longer than it was. Definitely the rape scene. That turned me off pretty heavily.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could have done without that scene?
Yeah, it was just the whole thing with the teenagers was just kind of mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though, I mean, let's be clear, this was not a graphic rape scene. This was a ridiculous, stupid-looking one. And, I mean, she was barely, I mean, you know, being hit against the back, the styrofoam, or the plastic back. I can't say that it was graphic or horrible like that, but it was poorly done to the part where, I mean, I didn't buy it at all. But then again, I'm a guy, so I'm going to look at it in a different way.
Like, it wasn't believable. It wasn't graphic. It was just in universe, within the universe of the movie, it was just mean-spirited.
Right, mean-spirited. I get you.
Like, the writer had the power to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not a bad decision.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And, I mean, it didn't really, especially since you didn't see her nude at all or whatever. There just wasn't any real point. It just felt like it was just in there to kind of have another death. But then, like, why was he going after her like that, you know? Like, he didn't have anything to do, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't know who she was.
Yeah. Actually, the whole thing with the two teenagers, just, there was no point in it.
Right. There wasn't any point for them being there, other than this is the the horny teenagers thing. And, you know, back in the day, that was like, especially in the 80s, it was always horny teenagers getting killed by the monsters and or slashers and or madmen. So this was kind of like, this is what happens in movies.
Well, here's another thing that kind of annoyed me about the deaths. So we have that whole family that gets murdered, right?
Right.
The father gets the son gets murdered first from the sled. Then the father gets murdered with the the axe in his down his throat.
Right.
Then the mother gets murdered with the tree, and then the daughter gets murdered with the rape scene. What really pissed me off is, like, he says he's going to come after that guy's family, the sheriff's family, yet he goes after a completely different family that has nothing to do with the other family. Like, if it was his uncle or something, I can understand, but he was literally coming down and hunting down other people in this other, you know, thing. And it wasn't even like they were crossing his path. He was literally seeking them out. It just made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, didn't it make writing. Like, he was already at the house and moved to another person's house instead of killing the occupants.
Right. So he saw that it was the father of that son that he had killed. Then he went after that whole family. It made no sense for, like, it should have been that he went after the son. There should have been more family members in the family. Then, you know, he has taken out a few of them so that we could be worried about the sheriff's family. Because most of the time, we're just like, I guess he's not going after, you know.
Well, and the part of the problem, too, is, again, bad intentions of the writer. Because I don't think he's really interested that we're going to be worried about anyone. I think the whole point is to make the audience sort of root for the evil snowman killing people, because that's why he's giving all these stupid lines that we're supposed to be laughing at. You know, ha ha, don't eat the yellow snow. Ha ha, you know, he's just throwing in one stupid one-liner after another, like the whole thing is one big joke. But if the whole thing is one big joke, then that means we're on the side of the snowman? The evil killing snowman? Why am I on his side? You know, it's just, I don't quite get it. I mean, you can have an evil snowman, and that's killing people, and that's fine for a fun movie, but you don't make us complicit with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Again, this is just, you know, somebody needed to have taken another whack at the script.
I guess Jeremy didn't do that great of a job of making sure it was, you know, done the way it should have been done.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. I mean, it's an entertaining enough movie where you can let a lot of those things slide.
Sure,
you know.
I mean, in the end, it's still a killer styrofoam snowman, so it has fun value just right there, and it's Christmas themed, so you always want to have a Christmas themed stinker out there to watch.
Yeah, there should be more. I mean, there are a lot. I'm not going to lie. There are a lot of Christmas themed horror films, but there should be more.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because you did Santa's Sleigh last year.
Yeah, I did.
So Santa's Sleigh is looking like 100% better than Jack Frost, don't you think?
Honestly, I like Santa's Sleigh a lot better. Yeah. But Santa's Sleigh was a bigger production, I think, too. It had bigger names in it. It was just a, you know, bigger production.
But you noticed, though, that we were on the side of the kids. Remember? Mm-hmm. Fighting against the evil Santa. You know, we weren't there to laugh at him and support him.
Well, he also wasn't saying one-liners and silly stuff. It was Bill Goldberg, for crying out loud.
Right.
They probably tried to keep him not talking as much as possible. So he just wasn't he's not a talky kind of guy. But he did a great job, and I honestly, yeah, I like Santa's Sleigh a little bit better than this one, but
yeah, it's a better movie.
But it's you know, I can kind of see a comparison to the two of, like, you know, Killer Snowman and Killer Santa. Maybe they should do a Killer Snowman versus a Killer Santa.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You know, movie. Would you watch that?
Killer Santa?
Like Killer Santa versus Killer Snowman.
I don't know.
That would be pretty interesting, right?
I was just thinking about the idea of Killer Santa, because he does break into the houses pretty easily.
Yeah, well.
Or Krampus. Or Krampus. Yeti, a bountiful snowman.
Actually, I think there was a movie called Krampus.
Mm, there was. Yep. All right, well, we are about at that time where we're going to go and review our radar movie. So why don't you tell us, Paul, a little bit about the Stinkometer.
Okay, as folks should know by now, we rate our movies on a scale of 1 to 10, by which the lowest score, or 1, is a least amount of stink, and 10 is the highest amount of stink. That's the Breen factor. And a movie that's kind of in between stink-wise is probably a 5, and if you feel like being subtle, you can give it a half step, say a 5.5 or 6.5. And at the end of this year, which is coming up real soon, we figure out which movie was the stinkiest movie of the season. And boy, we've got some stinkers this year. So, now we have to all figure out on a 1 to 10 scale what our stink scores were for this film. Who's going to go first?
I think we should let Lenore go first. She's looking at me going, I guess you go first, because I'm the one who brought
this. Okay, I can go first. I'm going to give this an 8.5. It's pretty bad. However, there are parts of it that I thought were decent. Like I said, I thought the acting was decent. I thought the direction for the most part was decent, even though there were some false endings. I think most of the problems with the writing and with some of the production, especially some of the special effects, it's bad. It's a bad, bad film. Bad, bad, naughty film. But I have definitely seen worse. Even this year, I've seen worse. So 8.5 is about par for me.
All right. So I was gonna go. Do you want to go next, or do you want me to?
You go first.
Okay. So I was like, when I first kind of came up with this idea and I started rewatching it, my idea was 7 originally, right? However, after rewatching it, I'm shooting up 2 points and it's getting a 9.
Oh, nice.
It is getting a 9 from me. It's just really badly done compared to what I thought. Like when you first watch a movie, you're not like watching it with other people and you're not seeing it from a different perspective. You don't notice these little things. I didn't notice how bad the snow looked. I didn't notice how bad the snowman looked, you know, right? I mean,
his little mittens for hands.
Especially because it's a Blu-ray. Blu-ray makes it look worse.
Imagine
in a way.
Imagine that out there, independent filmmakers. If you start making mistakes, anything in Blu-ray is going to make it look much, much clearer, and that's going to amplify mistakes. So think about stuff that's in the background. Think about continuity issues. Think about what people are seeing in the view screen, because on Blu-ray, it's going to pop.
Definitely. So I gave it a 9. He gave it an 8.5. What do you say, Lenore?
As a movie on its own, I'd give it an 8, but for how it portrays safety and science in general, but in particular safety around chemicals, I'd give it a 10, so 9.
9. Okay, wow. All right. So we got 2 9s and an 8.5.
I can't believe I'm giving the lowest score on this. That's just crazy.
I think it's because you think of things differently than we do.
Well, yeah, I think of things differently than most people.
Because your stink is a completely different version of what our stink is.
But this was on my list. I was going to show this at some point. I just hadn't gotten to it yet.
I thought you wanted to show the second one more than the first one.
Well, yeah, the second one is even worse.
So you get the second one.
Yeah, well, we might have to bury that one in the shed for a little bit and then come up with it later. But yeah, we're gonna do part two. And it's the shame is that you mentioned that there could have been a third one. I'm just interested that that the one actor. I mean, I know he died and everything, but it's not like he's that integral to the story. Frankly, they could have gotten someone else and different characters.
I mean, yeah, completely new characters and just use the Jack Frost guy still alive.
Right. So, keeping that in mind, if they come out with a Jack Frost 3, are you going to rush to see it?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I still need to see the second one. I've never seen the second one.
Oh, you've never seen it? No. Oh, dude. Next year.
Next year. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Because I guess we'll talk about that real quick, you know, to wrap this whole thing up. So the plan still is for me to go to L.A.
Right.
And we're just, today we've just been talking about that, getting that stuff ready. and everything. So we're really excited about it. There's this awesome trip. We're going to try to do as many podcasts and video casts and sightsee and stuff.
And I'm bringing the monkey.
He's bringing the monkey. You better bring the monkey. I'm bringing my monkey.
Yay.
My monkey squeaks too. Where's my monkey?
Don't know.
He's behind here.
Where's the pervy monkey?
Yeah, the TNA monkey who couldn't be with us today because there was no real TNA.
No, there was just teasing.
And the teasing of the TNA, but no real TNA in it. Paul and I are going to be out there. Are you going to be in Virginia around the time that Paul's gone, or are you going to be coming after?
Probably, I'll probably be coming back January 8th or 9th.
Oh, cool. All right, so like right after. Awesome.
Yep. So we're going to have Miss Lenora around for a while where she can watch more stinky movies.
And our next thing is in 6 days from now, which will be the day or a couple days before this comes out, you know, because this comes out on the 9th, and the couple days before then is the episode where we're going to do like our last episode. And then the episode after that is our wrap-up episode.
Right, so the season finale is coming soon. It's one of my movies, and I got something extra special. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yeah, he's told me what it is, and I'm excited. You haven't even watched it yet, have you?
I've seen a little bit. I couldn't help myself.
Well, I haven't watched the whole thing. You need to watch the whole thing because you need to do the research, and you need to kind of give us... You know, and kind of know ahead of time whether or not this, because he is hoping that this next one is the stinkiest
of the bunch. It could be. I don't know. Actium Maximus has been strong throughout the whole season.
And he chose that as the first. I don't understand. We're going to talk about that.
Strong, baby.
I don't know.
Set the tone.
I'm excited to see if this next one is the final finale one is the worst. Or if it's just one of the high ones.
But I tell you, you learned your lesson. Don't hold back. You held back on that score, and you shouldn't have.
I know. I think it could have been almost a 30, because I think you did a 9.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a 9.5, and she gave a 10. So if I gave it a 10, you gave it a 10, and... You didn't want to give it a 10. I don't know why.
I mean, it was pretty damn... I think we both found like one tiny little thing, like the music. We thought the music was pretty good, and that was enough to save it half a point.
I don't know. I don't know. Man, I'm so glad I never rewatched it.
Only because I have given 10s. I mean, I gave Fungicide a 10. Or no, I gave Hard Rock Zombies a 10. That's what I gave Hard Rock. Oh, that was so bad.
Hard Rock Zombies. That's a hard movie to watch.
Horrible movie. Horrible.
But yeah, I think I've held back a lot when I should have probably gave bigger things. I know James, and we're still hoping to get James back for one last episode. So hopefully we'll have him on to do like our own little last little thing. And then also I've talked to Joe, so we might have him as well.
That's good.
So we got a bunch of people that want to come back and chat with us for a little bit.
I still haven't shown you any Nick Zed movies yet, or you know, some of the other horrible, horrible movies I've got. I've got so many.
And everybody's wondering why I'm leaving to go to L.A.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah, he's already got something planned for me for January.
Oh, yeah.
Our first episode back, I'm gonna do one, and he's actually gonna do one. So that's gonna be fun that we're gonna have, and we're hoping to have some special guests from LA, as other people for us.
New meat for the grinder.
I know. So just get ready for that. There's gonna be some really fun stuff coming up ahead. Just like I said before, just because I'm leaving, you know, for LA does not mean the party's going to stop. Party's only going to get bigger and awesomer.
East Coast, West Coast. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. I love that. I can bring the people that I'm friends with that haven't had the chance and the opportunity to be a part of this to be a part of this. And no matter what other stuff I do, you know, as far as the shows and other things that we're going to be doing, Indie Film Cafe will get done. Like if there's anything else I'm doing, Indie Film Cafe is the only thing like, period, that I'm going to make sure it gets done. We're probably going to end up having 24 episodes this season.
Oh, yeah.
So could, instead of 22.
I'm just wondering if L.A. is going to be ready for Indie Film Cafe.
I don't know, but we're going to get, like, little cards passed out to people. We're going to... L.A.'s going to know the name Indie Film Cafe by the end of...
One way or another.
They like it or not.
There you go. You might cause a new L.A. riot.
I hope so. But, you know, it might start the wildfires again. Oh, right. Wait, was that too soon?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think it's a little.
You should probably wrap her up.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to join us on indiefilmcafe.podbean.com. Join us on indiefilmcafe.reviews.
Send us a buck at Patreon, please.
Indiefilm.com/indiefilmcafe. All the links will be at the bottom, sickflickproductions.com. Check out our YouTube channel and check out all the stuff that we've got going on. We just did a DVD haul. We're going to be doing more videos, and we'll be doing some from, at different locations in L.A.
Yeah, you know how Johnny has his gravers? We got to come up with a name for our folks, especially if there are folks on Patreon. You know, we got to give them, call them like dumpies or something. You know,
no, don't do that. Don't do that. No. We'll think of something. We'll
come up with something.
So thank you, Lenore.
Oh, no problem.
You'll be back next week for our finale as well as the wraparound. So we're really excited. And you've been a really cool, like addition to our group. So we really appreciate you.
Bringing the science home.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. And thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you guys have any questions, please feel free to contact us at indiefilmcafe@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think of this. Okay, right. Guys.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.